And welcome to another episode of Worst Collection Ever. This is the show where we tell you about the worst comic book collection in existence, and it just happens to belong to us. I'm Jen.
And I'm Sean. And I almost forgot we had a tape today because I slept.
Yeah, we both took a nap after we got off work.
Well, this is coming out like a little bit later than usual. Yeah. And not, you know, it's I don't like sometimes having to do like this, but you know, sometimes it's just that's how it works out. And but you know, here we are. And yeah, I was like, okay, we're gonna tape tonight, we'll release it tomorrow, whatever. And I'm just like, I was just out.
Yeah, no, I did the same thing.
I don't know how that is. I don't know how that
is. I was sitting there at work and I was just like, I'm exhausted. When I get home, I'm gonna take a nap.
Yeah.
And you were like, I got home and you were like, I'm done, I'm taking a nap. And we're like, okay, great. So we both took a nap till like 8 o'clock.
Yeah. Nothing like a good afternoon nap.
Not even. It's like an evening nap.
Evening nap. Because then it's like one of those things where, like, back in the day, like I said, like when you're like a little kid, it's kind of like your parents having to strategically figure out your naps. Because, you know, if you sleep, if you don't sleep through the night, you know, you're up at night.
Meh.
Because of, you know, you sleeping all day or something like that. So now it's like, well, now I'm going to want to stay up, you know?
Well, I'll still go to bed.
I know, but it's...
You know me.
Yeah, I know.
I'm like, oh, more sleep? Great.
More sleep.
I love sleep. I'm very good at it. It's my talent.
So what's going on? Was there anything we needed to talk about? There's something outside of the Jeremy Renner fiasco.
Oh, man, am I excited.
Stuff this week that is sort of adjacent. It's not anything that has to do with...
No, nothing to do with comic books. I mean, the Joker thing came out. I think that was last week.
We talked about the Joker last week.
We did. I mean, really, it has been a great week for really bizarre shit happening on the good old internet. First thing I'm going to mention is Chris Jericho's belt.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Which that was great for me. I thought that was probably one of the funniest things I've ever heard.
Well, basically, you know, for those of you that obviously, I mean, I know this is a comic book podcast, but we talk all about wrestling. Basically, what happened was Jericho. There was a All Elite Wrestling event over the weekend, and he won the title for this promotion, and. Now, mind you, this is a brand new title.
He's literally the first person to have it.
First person to have it.
They're debuting on TNT in like 3 weeks.
Right.
With their brand new show that's going to go up against Raw. He's the first champion. This is, you know, the thing. And he lost it when he was eating dinner at a Longhorn Steakhouse.
Yes. Yeah, well, the word is that he was in a limo. I think he left this.
There's something also with like switching the wrong luggage or something that it's very confusing. All we know is he won. He went to a Longhorn Steakhouse where I'm assuming he had some sort of meal and a bunch of drinks.
I think the drinks are already being had.
Well, I mean, because
en route to said steakhouse, and then steakhouse had more drinks for him.
Yeah, and there was something with
at the chain restaurant.
Yeah, and he's like, "I'm leaving this in the limo. I'm gonna go eat at my Longhorn Steakhouse."
I think
something happened where like the luggage was wrong, and the limo driver had to go back, and blah blah. I don't really know what that part was about, but it ended up where he did not have the belt.
So what I think happened was he was sitting on the table, with the belt, and he had a little bit of the bubbly, which has been memed quite quickly and not very well in a lot of cases. Like, a lot of people were like, oh man, I made a video.
Falling down on the job, internet.
Yeah. I mean, was there something there really good? Like somebody did a Roman Reigns mashup of him saying that, which to Roman Reigns' theme song, which I thought was pretty good. But there's some of them are just like, okay, we're done.
Yeah.
But he basically left the belt somewhere because I think what happened was, okay, so somebody found it at the Longhorn Steakhouse, maybe somebody there, or maybe somebody
this is
that,
what you think this is not
I
what
think
it was
this
said.
Is what I think happened because yeah. What ended up happening allegedly was the police in Illinois were looking for it, and they found it on the side of a road.
Yeah.
Which leads me to believe that someone either had it, somebody had it, and they wanted to pawn it, and they didn't, they couldn't pawn it because somebody was like, oh, they knew better than to accept it, and rather be caught with it, they just threw it on the side of a road.
Sure,
because if that's where it allegedly was found, because
it's been weird. It's like they announced it was found, and then they took it back, and then yes, it's been found, and it's just whatever it is. Chris Jericho lost it, and it's hilariously funny because he lost it at a fucking Longhorn Steakhouse.
What if he lost
literally hours after winning it?
Literally hours.
All his, and he, the thing is Chris Jericho's been in the business for so many years. You think he would not make a mistake like that? He did, and it's just funny, and it's great, and it's a wonderful thing.
He should have went.
I'm glad he found it. Nobody got hurt.
Yeah, nobody got hurt.
You know, it's just a fucking big laughing joke, and that's my good job.
Good job, Chris Jericho.
Yeah, good job, Cool Dad.
Great job, older wrestler.
Great job, Cool Dad.
Great job, Cool Dad.
Pretty much.
He should have went to a Black Angus.
I think he should have gone to a Black Angus.
Black Angus, or
that wouldn't have happened at a Black Angus.
Definitely wouldn't have happened at a Sizzler.
Nope, absolutely not.
Fucking A, man.
At least if he went to a Sizzler, I'd be like, well, of course it got stolen.
You're right. Sizzler. You left it at the hot bar.
Yeah, you left it at the hot bar. Were you trying to eat those gross ass, I don't know, whatever that spaghetti shit is they leave up there?
Well, that's why I love
you're the taco shells.
I like the hot bar.
I know you do. And then you get all, then you're like, why did I eat that? I'm like, because you went to Sizzler. Why did you go to Sizzler? They're all over California.
I know. It's a very, idea here.
No, there used to be one. No, there is not.
Oh, man.
We'll have to Google
it. Next time we go to California.
Oh, God.
We'll have to go to a Sizzler.
We have to?
No.
Okay, good.
No, because that's not like I've never been to a Sizzler in my life.
Yeah, Sean, although really, I do miss Sean really likes the hot bar. He goes for the wings.
They have these wings that are like...
really gross.
They're not gross.
They're gross.
They're slightly breaded. And
slightly
they're
breaded? It's just a fucking big hunk of bread with like a chicken bone underneath it. I don't even think there's any meat.
Meatless wings.
It's a meatless wing.
That's very health conscious.
Yeah,
it really,
it's very vegetarian.
But Sizzler can be vegetarian, guys, if you know how to eat.
It's true. You can get a salad bar at the Sizzler.
Of course you get a salad bar. Fuck yeah, I fucking love the salad bar. So that silliness is going on. And then you want to talk about this app stuff?
This is my favorite thing that's ever happened. Everyone knows that I have an irrational hatred of Jeremy Renner. And as we were talking about on the podcast last week, he unveiled an Amazon store where you can buy, like, I don't know, Neosporin with his face on it or some shit. I'm sure that's not true. But he does have an Amazon store where he's, like, an outdoor bro. So apparently, Jeremy Renner, like many a celebrity, has a vanity app. Had, I should say. A vanity app, which I don't think there's a celebrity alive whose app I would want. But apparently, like, a lot of them do, and they do. It's this company called EscapeX.
EscapeX.
They work with celebrities and they have a vanity app.
EscapeX sounds like a secret, like a Tesla company.
It sounds like the newest version of the Tesla.
Like they make
they do have Model S.
They make designer escape pods.
Yeah. So anyway, he has his app. And on Tuesday on Deadspin, which I put on our page, there was an article called "I Broke the Official Jeremy Renner App by Posting the Word Porno on It." It was about this guy who just went on there and, like, apparently if you're on this app, whenever you get push notifications, it looks like Jeremy Renner is speaking to you. So it has a picture of his face and it says Jeremy Renner : whatever it is. So if you post, it's like an Instagram. If you post a picture, Jeremy Renner posts a picture of his dumb face and you write, "Looking good, man," and somebody underneath it puts "fuck you," you get a push notification that somebody replied, but it just says Jeremy Renner : fuck you. So it looks like Jeremy Renner saying fuck you. So I guess the example this guy uses on this Deadspin, which I really recommend reading, it says if you post "looking good, Mr. Renner" under a blurry photo of Jeremy Renner driving a dump truck, and somebody named football underscore jersey 97 replies with, "There is diarrhea shooting out of my penis." Your phone will buzz and you will receive a notification with the words, "Jeremy Renner colon, there is diarrhea shooting out of my penis," next to a little picture of Jeremy Renner's face. So apparently that's how this app worked. So
I mean, that's not the purpose of the app.
That's not the purpose of the app, but that's if you get these push notifications, that happens. So there was a picture of Jeremy Renner holding binoculars and it says, "Hey, what's everybody planning to do for the weekend, right?" And this guy said, "I'm going to watch porno." And then he went camping and he came back and the app had apparently exploded because he got kicked off for writing the word porno. But then a lot of other people started like replying like, "I am, you know, the porno truther," or whatever. It says on here that by this time, all of a sudden, all these people had found it and they had become trolls. So there were, and if I'm going to find this here, people on this app pretending to be Jeremy Renner. It says false Renners had started up. There was even somebody pretending to be Casey Renner. Casey Anthony on this app.
Jesus.
And it says it was overrun with hundreds of people pretending to either be Jeremy Renner, Jeremy Renner's twin brother, failed clones of Jeremy Renner, successful clones of Jeremy Renner, and also various former Major League Baseball players for some reason. And also somebody left a review that said, "I'm glad this app is like Casey Anthony positive." It just really became like a fucking mess and took away.
Nolan Ryan enjoys the Jeremy Renner app.
Pretty much. So all the people who actually wanted the app got kind of pissed off, and so now the Jeremy Renner app is now dead. It has been dismantled, and I've posted this article as well, that the Jeremy Renner app will have to be the dumbest app in heaven now, is the title of this article from the AV Club.
And you can see that on our page.
And you can see that on our page as well, because too many trolls.
Can't have anything nice.
Can't have anything nice because everybody's a fucking asshole. But you know what? This is the best thing that's ever happened to me.
It's pretty, yeah.
The internet did what it did. And it's like, you have to know, like, if you're a celebrity, just for, you know, the celebrities listening out there, if you're a celebrity and you start one of these apps, you have to know that this is how the internet is going to react.
Yeah.
Because this is what the internet does. It's just a bunch of fucking snarky assholes just making life hard on everybody.
Oh,
but
yeah.
Being hilarious at the same time. Because again, this is another one of those my favorite kind of stories. Nobody really got hurt. We just trashed something stupid. That's
yeah.
all.
Yeah, no, that's fine. And I can appreciate that for what it is.
I do appreciate it.
You know, although, I don't know, there's part of me that does feel a little bit bad about, you know, Jeremy Renner, trying to be like, "Hey, I have a fan base. I was in Avengers. I'm trying to, you know, do a thing."
He still has music. He is.
I was shocked to find, for some reason, I forgot, or I refused to acknowledge that he has music because he does the dad bad variety.
Well, that's exactly what I was just going to say. He has joined the pantheon of actors who have dad bands with David Duchovny. What's his name? Michael Chiklis has a dad band. So yeah, he is.
Would you consider Jeff Goldblum dad band?
Because
he does the jazz thing.
I was going to say not really, because he does something completely different, and he's always been a piano guy.
Okay. Okay.
Jeff Goldblum is in his own weird category because he's weird. He's Jeff Goldblum.
I'd like to go to a record store and be like, "Excuse me, direct me to the dad bands."
Yeah, and it's just old. It's like washed up actors.
I think that's how we should categorize music in stores now.
Yeah, dad bands.
We should have a dad band section and just put like Springsteen, but also put like Springsteen in there,
category?
Kid Rock.
What was the other category that we had created the other day for this record store?
That's right. You did.
Bullshit folk music.
Yeah, where's that? Yeah, because
or shit folk.
Because I just learned the other day that Mumford & Sons is Irish.
Yeah, they're not Americans.
I thought they were Americans.
You thought they were hipsters. No, they're just bullshit folks.
Are the Mountaineers, or what, the Electioneers, or whatever the fuck that band's name is?
I don't know.
Are they?
Fuck if I know.
Irish?
Can't tell you. Oh. Can't. I would have to Google that.
They'd be in that section, though.
I do not care enough
they would
about
be in that. They would be in that section.
It's just called bullshit folk music.
Bullshit folk music.
Yeah, and then dad bands.
That'd be a good store. We should open that store.
We should. It's going to be.
we should open that store and like just have. So you open a record store and you just separate all the music into things you think it is.
Well, then we're just basically Amazon. Because that's exactly how Amazon works.
Well, do you have a dad bed section?
No, but I mean, like, that's how, like, if you go into the Amazon brick and mortar store, it's not like the books aren't arranged in a way like they'd be in a traditional store like Barnes & Noble. It's literally like 5-star reviews, and it's just books with 5-star reviews.
Ooh, do they have a 1-star review section?
I have absolutely no idea. I have not been to the brick and mortar Amazon store.
Oh, man.
But yeah, so we could just be like Amazon, just be like, here's, you know, dad bands, and maybe there's subsections, celebrity dad bands, and actual dad bands. Because like Bruce
Springsteen. No, I don't think you could split it up. I think it's just dad bands straight.
Really?
Yeah.
You don't think that there should be like a separation between the David Duchovny's of the world and the Springsteens?
Well, technically, they're all celebrities.
Yes, I know, but Bruce Springsteen was never famous for being, like, an actor. He was always a
musician. Oh, you never saw Bruce Springsteen in Star Trek?
Yeah, I did. I saw that, like, really long run where Bruce Springsteen was just, like...
He had a walk-on role every so often on The Cosby Show.
Yeah, yeah, and he was playing Jim the Neighbor. Remember that.
And Bruce Springsteen as Jim the Neighbor.
Yeah, pretty much.
I'm Jim the Neighbor.
He lived next door. What was that one? Who was that guy who lived next door to the Golden Girls, who became its own spinoff?
Oh, Empty Nest.
Yeah.
Richard Mulligan.
Yeah, yeah. That was originally supposed to be Bruce Springsteen.
Oh.
He lost the role.
Empty Nest.
I mean, well, maybe you could, because technically...
I was born in an empty nest.
In fairness, how long was Max Weinberg on TV?
From the start of Conan show, right?
Yeah. Until Conan moved to L.A., because Max didn't move.
That's right.
So, I mean, could that technically be? Because people might know, younger people might only know Max Weinberg because of Conan, and not because he was Springsteen's drummer.
Bruce Springsteen. Yeah. Oh, these are good questions we're asking.
These are really important questions we're asking.
These are very important. This is why you come to the show.
It is.
This is why the show had to be a little bit late this week.
Right, because we really had to think about these questions about how we're going to split up our dad bands.
We had to go out to the mountains and look out wistfully into the horizon while thinking about
dad bands.
How would I categorize dad bands?
I just really think like David Duchovny, Michael Chiklis, and Jeremy Renner kind of deserve their own section.
Okay, that's fine.
Like vanity dad band or something.
Okay, you know what? I'll accept vanity dad band.
Yeah, because I feel like, you know, that's...
Excuse me, do you have... I'm sorry. Sir, here's the dad band. Excuse me, I was looking for vanity dad bands.
Oh, you're like, oh, well, right this way, sir.
Here's a trash.
And it's just...
Here's garbage. Here's a bin on the ground. with Michael Chiklis in it. There's also probably some DVDs of the Shield in there too.
Yeah,
in case you're interested.
In old X-Files episodes, like the bad ones though, not the good ones.
Definitely X-Files. The second movie's in there.
The second movie's 100% that fucking bit. 100%
in there.
God, that movie's bad. Speaking of, I've been watching a lot of X-Files.
Uh huh.
I'm seriously trying to talk myself out of reviewing all of them.
I don't know why not, but just do it.
Oh, because it's 201 episodes. Mm-hmm. That's a lot of episodes. It took me years to do Gilmore Girls, and it wasn't nearly that many.
That's true.
And I'm like,
but you like X-Files, though.
I love the X-Files.
Yeah, you could. It'd be like, you know, eating ice cream every time.
Oh, God, maybe. Some of those... I've been doing a rewatch. Some of those old episodes... There are some gems. I will... Because I forgot, like, how many great ones are so early in the season or in the series. I'm like, oh, shit, that's right. Because I thought, like, this one was season 3 or it's in season 2, whatever. But there's so many, like, also bad ones. Like, I watched one this morning. The grotesque episode where there's, like, a fucking gargoyle... possessing people, and it's just dumb. So there's some of them where I'm just like, I forgot this was so dumb.
Yeah. No, there's
so many great ones.
I don't know. I have seen a few X-Files shows, but it's never been my big thing.
Yeah.
So if it's ever a thing where, like, I think somebody suggested you do a podcast about it.
Yeah.
Yes, our listener Nick, loyal listener Nick, he, that's not a bad idea. You know,
well, we could do a podcast where it's like we just talk about the X-Files. I just don't know how well that's going to go over.
Yeah.
Just as far as like, you know, it would kind of almost be like that Gilmore Guys thing where it's like one person was a huge fan And then the other one had never seen it before.
Right.
It would be like that.
Yeah. Well, that show became immensely popular.
It sure did.
And then they had a... But the thing is about a show like that is, like, it's only as long as the show is. Granted, I mean, X-Files went on forever.
Yeah.
So did
the fucking Gilmore Girls. Jesus Christ.
So... Yeah, I guess that's how it is. But
yeah, maybe we'll do that. I don't know.
So I'm trying to think if there's anything else.
Nope.
To bring up. Well, actually, we went and did a bit of shopping, and actually, I went to a wrestling event this weekend.
We did, yeah.
My buddy Gregory Iron, professional wrestler Gregory Iron, was in town for some events with Rocky Mountain Pro.
Yep.
And I've chatted with Gregory a bunch. You know, he was on an episode of the Steve Austin show that I helped get him on and stuff. And so we've been chatting, and he is in town. So I was like, we'll go see him. And so we went out to Lafayette, Colorado, to a brewery / dog park.
I don't even know if it's a brewery. It might just be a bar / dog park. But it's like if a dog park had a bar in the middle of it.
Right.
That's literally all it is. It's like all fenced in and like you bring it's dog friendly. So you bring your dogs and the wrestling event was outside in like the side yard.
Yeah.
Where the dogs can run and play. And so there's a ring there.
There were no dogs.
There
were some dogs around, but they weren't involved in the show. Just FYI.
Yeah. You can't bring the dogs to where the wrestling ring was set up. But like if you were in the actual bar, you could have your dog. And you would just sit there with your dog and drink beer, which actually is kind of cool.
It's kind of neat.
Like it's kind of great. It was kind of a cool
How about a cat bar?
I don't think that would go over very
well. Probably not.
But yeah, it was fun. It was like, you know, it was a kind of cool idea, like a place where you could just like hang out and drink beer and hang out with dogs.
Yeah. So we saw the show and, Gregory wrestled,
Little Rusev.
Young Rusev.
Rusev Jr.
A guy that looked like young Rusev.
He looked like Rusev. I kept calling him Rusev Jr.
Yeah, that guy. He looked like Rusev.
He does look like Rusev. Little Rusev Jr. there. And then, it was fun. It was good. We watched that.
Yeah, I think we did. I managed to go. Well, we did some shopping, I guess.
Yeah, you went to Second and Charles. We went to Second and Charles, and you picked up something.
Well, we went to on Friday and Saturday night because we went to one over here on Friday.
Yeah.
Well, I found a Daredevil trade that was on my list, the Mark for Death. Found that one of the original printings of the trade. You know, because I've mentioned this before, I really like finding the trades that they produced in like the early 90s that like Marvel and DC. I don't see as many DC ones, but the Marvel ones are always kind of fun to find because they're just recapping stories that were at that time only 10 years prior, so it's kind of neat. So I found that one and I found a trade for Death, the High Cost of Living. That's one that's a story that I feel like I should have read at some point because back in the 90s, that was for the DC Vertigo story. It is a big deal. So I found it for cheap. So I picked that up. I got an issue of The Demon that I needed and an issue of Avenging Spider-Man that has Death's head in it. So I was very excited to pick that up. That's as far as shopping goes. We got a few joints. Let's take our break. We'll come back. We'll talk about our book for this week.
When you talk about comics, does it sound something like this?
Look, you can't put the Superman number 77s with the 200s. They haven't even discovered red kryptonite yet. And you can't put the number 98 with the 300s. Laurie Lamaris hasn't even been introduced.
Or maybe it sounds a little more like this.
You think Mighty Mouse could beat up Superman? What are you, cracked? Why not? I saw the other day he was carrying 5 elephants in one hand.
Boy, you don't know nothing. Mighty Mouse is a cartoon. Superman is a real guy. No way a cartoon could beat up a real guy.
Yeah, maybe you're right. It would be a good fight, though.
Hello, I am the constantly caffeinated Clinton Robinson, and my comics discussions can go to both extremes, but generally fall somewhere in between. On the Coffee and Comics podcast, I will review comic stories and other comics-related topics that can be enjoyed over a cup of coffee. So pour the coffee, or other beverage of choice, and join me on the Coffee and Comics podcast, available on iTunes and coffeeandcomicspodcast.blogspot.com.
I just took a DNA test. Turns out I'm 100% that bitch. Even when... What?
I thought you were Speaking of a thing that you actually took a DNA test.
Oh, I did. And apparently I am 100% that bitch. But if I did, I think it would just come back as like, what the fuck did you just send us? You're not human, right?
You're not human.
But I like that it would be a question. You're not human, right?
Body?
Are you sure?
Why? Anyways, we're back here in our worst collection ever with our book for this week. It is Miss Marvel, Volume 1, Number 1, from January 1977. Hmm. And this is coming from a trade that I just bought called Captain Marvel Star Force. That was actually just released this year, and it collects a lot of... Jesus Christ, why is this print so small? A lot of like random like space adjacent adventures of Captain Marvel, both the female and Marvel one, or you know, and both female and male one.
Yes,
and
the Marvels,
and yeah. So this issue is in it. There's a Marvel Superheroes number 12. There's a Quasar in there. Obviously, there's some Captain Marvel in here. There's Captain America. There's Fantastic Four. So It's a pretty neat little thing. I found it, and I got this because of for the cheap.
Yeah.
You know, I got this kind of for free because I had a Barnes & Noble gift card.
Oh, that's right.
And I was like, neat. I'm going to pick this up. And I just like these random ones when you can get some old issues and stuff like that. And I don't think we've covered Miss Marvel before on this episode.
Yes, we have.
On the show.
Mm-hmm.
I think we did one a long time ago from like... whatever volume series it was, but it was a very long time ago that we covered it, so we're just kind of picking up on another one of these. I think you had a Miss Marvel issue.
I did.
I don't know if we have it anymore, because I think that
it was falling apart.
It was literally like one of those.
It was just shredded, basically. But yeah, it was definitely not number one. I don't remember what number it was.
It was a number.
We have talked about it before.
Well, we didn't talk about that one, I don't think.
Yeah, we did.
We did?
Yeah, because Did we?
I think we talked about Ms. Marvel, but we talked about
Might be right, because I believe the Ms. Marvel one I ended up buying was shredded to fuck and was missing pages.
Yeah.
And because I got it for like 25 cents.
Yeah, it was like an issue, I think, with Tiger Shark in it or something.
Yeah.
But that issue was from this series that we're, from this volume that we're reading now. But I'm reading this out of the trade, and I kind of figured it would be fun to... pick up on this, and I thought about it. I was like, well, is it really worth collection? But I mean, this trade, you know, has some dingers in it, you know.
At this point,
it's all bad.
It's all bad. Just go with it.
Yeah. So on the cover, we got...
if we own it, it's bad.
It's true.
That's the rule.
That's good. That's, you know what?
Even if it's good, it's bad.
That's true.
Because we own it.
If it comes to the... That's
how it fucking works.
If the deed of possession changes hands to us...
it becomes instantly bad.
It is ruined.
It's like, what is this classic artwork? Now it is bad. Because Jen and Sean own it.
Action Comics number one.
Bad.
Watchmen.
An original Picasso. Bad.
Well, I've tried it before, because it's been a while since we did a DC one, and but I haven't really found one I want to do just yet for a while. And I toyed with the possibility of doing Judas Contract, because I have the trade for that.
Yeah.
And I was like, maybe I do want to do that. I don't know. But
we can still do some of it, but I will say that, you know, there's parts of it that have not aged well.
No, it's definitely not. And I'll be honest, like I was reading through it, and I was like, oh, this is too good. It's too good of a comic. I don't know if I could do this, you know? But the one thing I'll say this is that when we pick books for the show, I would rather they're not boring.
Well, that's the thing.
That's where things,
because there have been times where we've read stuff for the show and we're like, we can't do this. It's too fucking boring.
Well, so
because nothing happens in it.
Well, the problem is like you'll look at a cover of a book,
yeah,
and you'll be like, oh man, that's gotta be bad. But then you read it and it's just boring.
Yeah, it's just a fucking snooze fest.
And that's just not how this is supposed to work. But Miss Marvel number one, volume one,
not boring,
and it's pretty silly.
Yeah,
so
not bad.
No, it's not bad either. So on the cover, it's a very busy cover going on here.
There's a lot of stuff going on.
A lot of stuff going on. Miss Marvel, Carol Danvers,
really green ugliness.
Where?
Just surrounding her.
Oh yeah, she's bursting out of a wall, and there's a big green thing, and then
there's faces.
Well, there's faces around here, so this is actually kind of confusing. We'll talk about it, but. So she's bursting out of the wall. And underneath the title, it says, I mean, well, first, you know, above, it's like, fabulous first issue, all in action, ha, ha, ha. They even have her head up in the corner, and it just says, this female fights back. Like, you know, in this corner here?
Yeah.
And then underneath the title, it says, at last, a bold new superheroine in the senses-stunning tradition of Spider-Man. Jesus Christ, Stan. What the fuck?
Right. There's a lot of
War and Peace down here. Featuring the most mysterious woman warrior since Madame Medusa. And
Madame?
Madame.
It's Lady Mall.
And if you think our leading lady is something, wait till you see her star-studded supporting cast. And on the cover, so she's bursting out of the wall. She's wearing her old costume.
Yeah, so it's got like a stomach window instead of a boob window.
Well, she has like a lot going on up top.
She has a full shirt. You know, it's long-sleeved and high-necked and the whole thing. And then all of a sudden, it's just like abdomen. And then like bikini-cut panties, but they're all like attached.
Yeah, and they're just
It's really weird.
It's like the rest of the outfit was like, fuck it.
Yeah, they're like, you know what? We don't have any more fabric.
We use it all up top.
You know what this is like? So when I was in college, I was goth, as we all know.
Yep.
I made myself a cape. Have I ever told you this?
Vaguely.
So I bought velvet, and I bought like a red for the liner and all this sort of stuff. I even put a pocket inside of it.
Oh, like Superboy.
Yeah, so I could put like my wallet, my keys. But the problem was, I didn't have enough.
Well, were you going to wear the cape in lieu of a jacket?
Yes.
Well, you kind of have to, I guess.
Yeah, and so I wouldn't have to like carry shit around if I didn't want to. I had a pocket. So the problem with my cape was there was not enough fabric because I am a tall woman. So it had like a weird seam like in the back, but also it was too short in the front. So it was kind of like a short cape in the front and a long cape. It was a mullet cape, basically. And I actually walked around like that because I'm a moron. But yeah, I did.
At least you had a pocket.
I had a pocket.
Is there any pictures of said cape?
No, I don't believe any exists.
Is the cape still in?
No, around? No, it's gone. Oh. I got rid of it.
Did you give it to a Goodwill so somebody else could enjoy a cape?
I don't know what happened to it. I don't remember if I gave it to Goodwill or I just threw it away. Uh-huh. I think I might have given it to Goodwill.
Oh, man. I hope there's somebody walking around
in my mullet cape?
Colorado somewhere.
With
the mullet cape.
With something. Because you know what? I was very proud of my pocket. It had a zipper and everything.
I'm Frank Costanza's lawyer. So, yeah, but she's got this weird 70s outfit. It's not only just a stomach window. She also has a back window because it's basically like the same on the back.
See, not enough fabric.
So she's
this is the mistake you make when you start sewing and you don't know what you're doing.
So she's having a fight. So she's okay. She's bursting through the wall. And then on the left side, we have a bunch of faces. J. Jonah Jameson and Peter Parker and Mary Jane Watson. And then she is beneath that. Beneath those heads, because Marvel loves the floating heads, we have her using a door to stop a beam. And then to her right, in the upper part, she is fighting the Scorpion.
Mm-hmm.
And it looks like she has a bunch of limbs, because the way she's getting knocked back by the Scorpion, but it looks like her limbs are all weird. And then right beneath that, she's on the phone.
Oh, yeah, important.
This woman uses a phone.
Oh, yeah. That's important, guys.
That's important.
Yeah.
So this woman, this warrior, she's started off with her flying.
That's what it's called. This woman, this warrior.
That's right, the title. She's flying through and
so there's like some bank robbers like doing their thing. And all of a sudden she swoops in. She doesn't really have a cape. She kind of has like a weird scarf thing.
I thought it was a cape, but I guess not.
It's not. It's like a scarf. It's as bad as my mullet cape. So she swoops in and they're like, who's this broad? Which A+ use of the word broad.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, that's right. We're in the 70s. So we're broad. And
oh, yeah. It's definitely the 70s. So she swoops in and she's like, we're going to fight you. And these guys are like, whatever.
They're really surprised. Everybody's just surprised to see a woman.
They're number one surprised to see a woman, but also like surprised to see another superhero, which is like, this is Spider-Man's town. Like, you shouldn't be that shocked.
Yeah, I mean, we are in New York, so.
Right. So they get in a car. They try to drive away, but she picks it up and throws it. But honestly, what I thought, because of the way it's drawn, there's a lot of like bright colors in the background instead of like you know, streets or objects. It looks like this car, like, is trying to jump over her.
Oh, yeah.
Instead of her picking it up. But she picks it up and she slams it down and these dudes go through the fucking roof.
Oh, is that what that is?
Yes.
I thought she... Because
they're not wearing their seatbelts.
Okay, see, I thought she smashed it on the ground and she smashed it through... Yes, right. She smashed it through, like, a pole or something. But nope. No, those are human bodies.
Those are human bodies because they didn't wear seatbelts.
They spatak through the roof.
And she has, like, she says she has a seventh sense that allows her to, like, sense that dudes are trying to shoot at her. And I'm like... Okay.
I have an eighth sense that allows me to murder men by throwing them through the top of the car.
Yeah, great sense. So she's throwing them. And of course, there's like a little girl in the crowd being like, I want to be like her when I grow up. And you're like, okay.
And the mother's like, oh.
A woman
should not be doing that.
Literally, the first couple pages of this book is literally a woman.
What?
And then apparently in the bank. Robbing it at the same time as the scorpion. Mm-hmm. He's the only one who has a costume. The rest of these guys are just dudes in sweaters.
Scorpion gets away using his tail. And he needs to take a bunch of money. So he has to get to a professor, like a science thing.
Yeah, whatever.
He has a scheme. And everybody shows up and they're like.
Well, first, like, people are like watching Miss Marvel as she's like standing. Right now, she doesn't have a name. Her name's Miss Marvel, obviously.
Yeah.
She's standing amongst the bodies of the goons and people are like, this is a fucking publicity stunt. She's like, how could people be so cynical? And I'm like, have you met people?
Yeah, right.
This is like pre-internet cynical, but it still existed.
Somebody mentions that it's in the publicity stunt. They compare it to a gag on the World Trade Center with a styrofoam King Kong.
Yeah. And I was like, was that a thing?
So apparently in the Marvel universe, at least I mean maybe in the real universe, there was a giant
styrofoam ape
attached to the side of the World Trade Center.
Hmm. So, you know, all right.
She's about to fly off, and she's like, "All right, I gotta go." And the people, the crowd, are like, "Oh no, she's gonna jump on us!" Because she's just kind of like,
"I'm like, she flew in, you guys.
She flew in." It's like, actually, I kind of wish she was just like,
"But she's just like fucking crowd surfing, just like, woo, catch me."
That's her. That's her. That's how she beat people.
Red Hot Chili Pepper show, and I'm jumping off this fucking stage.
Somebody's playing Californication in the background. She just can't help herself. She's got to dive on people. Actually, that's a hell of a superhero power.
That'd be awesome. She's like, I just stage dive.
She just stage dives on the audience.
Oh, and it's just like a dude wearing fucking cargo shorts, just like jumping on people. This is my power.
I'm a villain.
He just has one of those Bluetooth speakers and he's just playing like Limp Bizkit constantly and just jumping on people.
Oh no, it's the new metaler. His JNCO jeans will ruin us all.
He's got a loop for a hammer.
A what?
You know those pants when they have like the loops?
Oh yeah.
You can put a hammer there.
That's right. He's got the loop and a hammer.
He's got the carpenter pants.
Oh no. His goatee is too sharp.
He's got a wallet chain.
His wallet chain is a white t-shirt and
Vans.
He's got Vans. He's also wearing any number of band t-shirts.
Yeah.
Or I love bands.
It could just be white.
That's true.
You know, if you don't want to run into copyright issues.
That's true, yeah.
Unless you want to make up a bunch of fake bands.
Slammer.
It's probably a band.
His wallet chain is adamantium. The most superfluous use of adamantium ever, guys.
Yeah. The other one's vibranium.
That's right. Oh.
He's got two.
It's vibranium. He's going to shoot Limp Bizkit at us.
He's got two wallet chains. One is made of adamantium and the other is vibranium. It just depends on his mood on which one he uses.
The new meddler.
Yeah.
Guys, get ready. Yeah, so she flies away and...
Does he have a soul patch?
Oh, he definitely has a soul patch.
Yeah.
Well, no, say he's got a goatee, like a really, but it's like one of those like
Scotty Ian goatees.
Scotty Ian goatees, but it's really sharp because it's also covered in adamantium.
Oh, okay.
So
he can what stab as he's jumping? He can stab people with his chin.
Yeah, that's how he knocks. That's how he disarms people by impaling them with his goatee. It's like Wolverine's claws, but on his chin.
Oh man. You know, we're going to write this book. We're going to set it in the 90s, and it's just going to have, like, Filter playing in the background.
Filter. I like that.
Yep.
That's a good band.
It's a good band.
Now we cut to Daily Bugle. J. Jonah Jameson is watching a film with Miss Marvel in it, And
he's like, fuck these superheroes. Oh, by the way, I need a woman's magazine.
Yes.
Carol Danvers, who happens to be here, who is no longer a security expert, but is now a writer.
Yes, because as she explains later, she was an excuse to show she was a security expert in with S.H.I.E.L.D. or with something like that. And because she was unable to capture Captain Marvel, I don't know if she was fired or she was shamed into quitting her job, but not before, or maybe after she wrote a book, because she has like a really sweet pad in this apartment.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of publishing deals in this thing.
There are.
She's a lot. So she wrote a book about, I don't know if she was doing an expose on security or something like that, but whatever. So now she's like, now I need to get a job, like a real job in publishing. And it's the '70s and people are, this is all we have.
Yeah.
We have magazines.
This is, hey, I need a ladies magazine. By the way, I think this women's lib crap is just a fad. Women wanting to be treated equally will never catch on.
Women will decide to not. Women will decide it's okay to not be treated equally eventually.
Yes.
I also do like that the magazine is just called Woman.
Yeah.
Woman.
Woman. Yeah. So J. Jonah Jameson is starting his lady blog, basically. And he needs
Lady Blog.
And he needs, that's basically what it is. And he needs Carol Danvers to run it. By the way, he wants it to be not about like women's lib and careers and like shit women care about. He wants it to just be about like diets and fashion. Is shit women care about, but you know, we also care about other things.
He wants it to basically be like the Woman's World magazine my mom used to buy.
Yeah.
Like my mom bought that for years.
He wanted it to be like Cosmo, like back in the '90s.
Yeah.
Yeah. If anybody remembers what that was like, because
13 ways to please your hubby.
Yeah.
With,
it's like, use a scrunchie to tie off his penis, and you're like, what? What?
Was that actually in there?
Yeah,
was that where they started that?
I forget exactly where. I think it was in Cosmo, but it was like, use a scrunchie as like a cock ring, and you're like, don't do that. That's awful. You could seriously hurt somebody with that.
Especially for any random woman reading that.
Well, yeah, you know, you're just like, hey, how about you go to a sex store and buy a cock ring?
That's right. Leave it to professionals.
Yeah, buy something that's like, don't just like wrap a fucking rubber band around some dude's dick. Like, that's not a good idea.
My dick!
Yeah, that could like seriously like impede blood flow.
Mm-hmm.
That might be a problem. For some reason, like, Carol's here, and like, but she hasn't technically been hired by J. Jonah Jameson yet.
Well, and she's pitching him.
Yeah, I guess, but she doesn't. He's the one who says, I need this magazine. You're going to write it for me. And she's like, well, if I'm going to do that, you're going to pay me. And he's like, what? What do you mean I'm going to give you money?
Women's lib payment.
Yeah, it's like, here, I'll pay you an exposure. And you're like, fuck you. Actually, give me money. So she like negotiates, doesn't really negotiate her salary. He's like, I want to pay you $20,000. She's like, no, $30,000. He's like, $22,000? $30,000. And so he pays her
$30,000. $1?
Which back in the '70s is a lot of money.
She's fucking banging.
Yeah, and good for her.
That's right.
For negotiating for what she's worth. And she's also like, by the way, fuck all that shit. This is gonna be like a Ms. magazine, like bust, like bitch. That's a magazine. It's not gonna be this like Cosmo put a fucking scrunchie around a man's dick.
Yeah, right.
This is gonna be like a serious magazine.
So it does say here she was the Cape Kennedy security chief in the early issues of the original Captain Marvel. Yeah, so she's leaving, and then
she runs into Mary Jane.
And Peter.
Yeah, of course.
And Peter is going to do some business, so she's chatting with Mary Jane, and they, I forgot, how does it say?
I don't really know how they know each other. I guess they're friends. Whatever.
No, I think they're meeting each other for the first time.
They are? I thought they were, like, hanging out.
Because she sees her, and she recognizes her from, I guess she wrote an article about Diana Ross and Rolling Stone.
Oh, yeah.
At some point.
I'd like to see Carol Danvers interviewing Diana Ross.
Now. Let's make this happen in the movies now.
Do it now.
Brie Larson as Captain Marvel.
Interviewing Diana Ross.
Interviewing Diana Ross, who's still alive. Diana Ross needs to be in the MCU.
She does, actually. Can we get Tracy Ellis Ross in there as well?
Ooh, that sounds like a good idea.
It could be a mother-daughter interview.
Is that her daughter?
Yeah.
Why did I not know that?
I'm almost positive.
I mean, I know they share the last name, but, you know.
No, I believe it's her mom.
Well.
Because a lot of times, because, you know, she, Tracee Ellis Ross gets, like, a lot of, like, shout-outs for having just great clothes.
Yeah.
A lot of times she's like, oh, yeah, I just go in my mom's closet.
Diana Ross's closet.
Yeah, Diana Ross is her mom.
Why did I not know that?
Yeah.
She's also a great actress.
Yeah, she's great. She
would make a fine addition to the MCU.
I agree. I don't know what she would do, but she's awesome.
She could be in the Eternals. Jesus Christ.
Ooh, why not? We got plenty of people.
We got Kumail in there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's because of us.
Oh, that's true. So let's put this out there that we want Tracee Ellis Ross in the Marvel Universe somehow.
I like it. So, yeah. So anyway, yeah. Well, she's only, okay, keep in mind, Carol Danvers has only been writing articles for a year. So,
she got Diana Ross.
So in one of her, probably in some article earlier on this year, she, after leaving the security field and writing, I think she wrote a book. Maybe she wrote the book. I can't remember if she wrote the book while she was there. Probably
I'm
after
assuming.
Probably she was after. She got out of there, and then they were like, you know what? You wrote a good book about security.
Which doesn't make any sense. Well, I mean, maybe. Maybe.
Security!
She could definitely have her feelers out there. Usually, though, people fall into, like, a category if you're doing nonfiction.
Right,
you're always interviewing politicians, or you're a music journalist, or you're a whatever journalist. But sure, why not?
Did you mention that Peter apparently was nominated for the Newspaper Gill Award? Because he's such a good photographer, but he's never actually, like, done any, you know, never actually been hired or done. He's always been freelance, but
yeah.
Anyway, so Scorpion, we catch up with him. He's getting into this lab, and he's got the money to basically. What is he?
I don't really know what he's doing. There's also a man that looks like a monkey, but I don't think he's supposed to look like a monkey.
Oh, this guy?
Yeah.
Well, it's funny because they make a big deal about his face, and they're like, make sure you see
him. He looks like Dr. Zaius.
He does look like Dr. Zaius.
Yeah, he looks like he's like from Planet of the Apes. I don't really know what the point is. Scorpion is bringing this money to this lab, but he's almost getting shot, and I don't really know what he's doing here or why.
Well, he gives him a key to... So this Dr. Kerwin gives him a key to use that... for some sort of torture device that he uses later to when he kidnaps J. Jonah Jameson.
Yeah.
Now we jump to What's-Her-Face's apartment, Carol
Danvers'
apartment.
Which is really, really nice.
Which is holy shit, because, you know, interviewing Diana Ross pays really good in the 70s.
Yeah.
And so they go and have some...
This is back when writing paid money.
Writing was the... Was the shit.
It doesn't pay money anymore.
Yeah. You know, we should go back in time.
Yeah.
Get some of that.
There's a lot of reasons we need to go back in time.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. We need to let's just go all the way back until there's nothing.
Let's try to, like, actually save the planet so we don't all die.
MJ's like, why'd you become a writer? She's like, well, Captain Marvel's appearance at the Cape and my inability to capture him just about destroyed my security field career. And I tried to keep it together, and I went back to my first pen, to my first love, writing.
Yeah.
So.
Okay.
Yeah. Because, again, yeah, so, never see. Yeah, she's like, oh, where'd you get this apartment before? How much is this apartment? She's like, royalties for my first book about the space industry. That's right. She wrote a book about space.
Space book.
It'd be funny if it's just a book with, like, nothing on the pages. It's just like, space. Lots of it.
Space.
And everybody was like, oh, this is great. Anyway, so she gets, like, a weird headache from, like, one of her, like, sixth or seventh senses.
Yeah.
She's trying to recover. And then we cut to James Jonah Jameson, and he's walking through the street being angry, as he is. And somehow in the middle of this busy New York street, Scorpion just kind of sneaks up on him.
Yeah.
And hits him with his tail.
Sure.
Probably should kill him at this point.
Right? He hits
him in the back of the neck with a tail. Might as well break his neck. I do like, it's your death knell, Jameson, which reminds me of a line that was in my movie.
Mm-hmm.
Where Ted Arcidi tells... the main character, Lucky, what, I forgot his name.
What, your own character?
Yeah, character I made, because he tells him, I forgot why he, God, I should watch my own movie.
Yeah, you should.
But yeah, he tells him, it's your death knell.
You wrote it.
Yeah, so anyways, he captures J. Jonah Jameson, and everybody's like, ah, fuck that guy. He's having a nice villain shout, which
mm-hmm.
I kind of like.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, way back in Spider-Man 20, Amazing Spider-Man 20, like very early on in the character's existence, the Scorpion was created because he was basically Mac Gargan was from what I understand, he was a crook. He was doing some work for J. Jonah Jameson, and Jameson was like, hey, why don't you volunteer for this experiment? Or I don't know if you force him to do it. And basically it created this Scorpion suit that like is now permanently grafted to his body.
Oh, okay.
So yeah, and so he's like, I'm gonna fuck up J. Jonah Jameson.
Yeah.
Captain Marvel, Miss Marvel's flying around. She's like, oh man, J. Jonah Jameson's kidnapped my space awareness. Because that is something that Captain Marvel could do.
Right.
He has the spatial universal awareness and stuff.
Yeah, so. And she's like, I can see it on the horizon or some shit.
I saw it on my TV.
Yeah, in my face mind. TV.
She flies over to the Daily Bugle and everybody's like, a flying woman!
Yeah, everybody's like, oh my god, a woman is doing things. They're like, all right. So she like flies in the window and like there's a detective there.
No, it's Joe Robertson.
Right, but he's a detective, right?
No, he's the editor of the Daily Bugle. Okay. He's basically like the cool dude to J. Jonah Jameson's crazy dude.
I thought he was a detective.
No, yeah, he's there and he's like the only one that when she flies in, he's like, yo, chill out.
Right.
She's cool.
Right.
I don't think she's going to hurt us.
Right.
So, and yeah, and so she's like, oh no, I know he's in a building in Brooklyn. I got to go find him.
Yep.
You know, and then the cops do show up and she's like, peace out.
That's where I got confused there.
So then she
flies out.
And
J. Jonah Jameson has the Scorpion in this like device thing.
No, vice versa.
I'm sorry, vice versa. Scorpion has J. Jonah Jameson in a device. It's going to like zap him or fry him.
Well, he
or
has
dip him or whatever.
He's
going to
dip
him.
He has a
oh my god, it's dip.
There's a shitty buddy. He has a shitty building in Brooklyn where somewhere in this building. Where they say Brooklyn, I'm sorry, one-time home of the Dodgers, part-time home of Norman Mailer, and current home of the Scorpion. Just in case you needed to
right
know.
Right up there with Norman Mailer, huh?
Norman Mailer and the Scorpion, same level.
Yeah, totally.
And the Dodgers. Those are the only three things that Brooklyn is known for.
That's true.
And
not Captain America.
Yeah, fuck Captain America. Fuck that guy. Wait, is he from Brooklyn, right?
Yes, he is.
That's right.
Yeah.
For some reason, I was going to say he's from Queens, but no, he's from Brooklyn.
No, he's from Brooklyn. This is back in the day. That's like, even, wasn't Spider-Man supposed to be from Brooklyn, and now he's from Queens?
I thought he was always from Queens.
I don't remember, to be honest with you. Because I remember, like, back then, Brooklyn was like this working class, like, little burb, and now it's, you know, fuck it, you can't afford that either.
So Scorpion's got his lair. It's also a gastropub. Mm-hmm. You know, they're doing
100%.
There's a
pop up here.
There's a craft brewery in the corner.
Yeah, someone's doing like a pop up thing, like a sprinkle museum, like up on the second floor.
wait, a sprinkle museum?
Yeah, sure, why not? It's just like sorts of different types of sprinkles.
So is it just like little?
Well,
like,
it's like
one sprinkle.
It's like a bunch of them, and it's like interactive. You can like touch it. Remember how there was that thing in LA where it was like all those sprinkles, and you could like lay in them?
Oh, that's gross.
Yeah, we were like, oh, we're not doing that. That's disgusting because ew. But yeah, it's like that. It's like, was it a candy museum?
It was a candy. There was something. Yeah, it was some weird thing where people were laying in candy, and I was like, get the fuck out of here.
Yeah, and it was like a whole like fucking thing of sprinkles, and it's like bright pink, so everybody's Instagramming.
I kind of do wish this was around back then. You know, it is a little layer because people would be Instagram. It's like hashtag J murder Jameson or whatever.
Yeah.
Hashtag Scorpion.
Hashtag killing.
Hashtag acid bath.
Yep.
So yeah, he's basically like, you know, he recants like, yeah, you fucked me up. I'm going to throw you in this acid.
Yeah, fuck you. Jonah Jameson. Future Alex Jones.
Catch him in bed with an acid bath.
As we saw in Spider-Man.
Well, I don't even know if that's going to be real anymore. Now that J. Jonah Jameson, Alex Jones hybrid is out there in the ether.
Right? Because it might not happen now.
Nope.
Because now... Yeah, so who knows what's going to happen? Nothing, probably.
Probably nothing.
Absolutely nothing.
I do like...
Until we reboot Spider-Man again with a different young white boy actor.
Yeah, we're going to get... It's going to be like some... fucking Disney kid.
It's gotta be. It's like, hello, are you a skinny young white male with brown hair? You can be Spider-Man.
Oh, I don't even think we're just gonna pick any kid.
Well, that's basically what we do. It's just like,
we're going to pick any kid. He doesn't have to have brown hair. He's going to have.
Well, they're going to dye it?
Yeah, they're not even going to dye it.
We're talking bald kids.
We're talking young Lex Luthor motherfuckers.
Oh, yeah.
Talking young Sean Merrick shaving his head.
6-year-old Sean Merrick just bald.
Wait, Spider-Man's going to be 6?
Why not?
Sure.
Yeah.
Spider-Child.
So, you know, you start him young enough, then you can get, like, that Harry Potter run going.
Oh, yeah.
In, like, 19 movies before they turn 18.
Oh, yeah, because they're going to make so many of those movies.
It's like a Shirley Temple type of thing. Spider-Man.
What, Shirley Temple?
Sure, why not?
Did she die?
Yes, she's dead.
I didn't know she was still alive. I think she died.
She died a couple of years ago. I thought she was, like, in her 60s or something. But
No, she was much older than that.
She must have been.
Yeah.
Because she was in black and white movies.
Oh, yeah. So, anyways, he's monologuing, and so he's talking about how it's like, you wanted me to capture Spider-Man, and I didn't realize how strong he was, so I got this, you know, because you gave me this outfit, and I didn't realize that this outfit was for real. Now I can never lead a normal life, never feel the sun on my skin, never feel love, all because of you.
So you mean he can't get his dick out of that thing?
Nope.
How does he pee?
I don't know.
Can he pee?
It comes out the tail. There's diarrhea coming out of my tail, Jeremy Renner. Jeremy Renner : there's diarrhea coming out of my tail.
Oh, man. I can never feel love, Jeremy Renner : I can never feel love. I wish that app still existed. I would just go start fucking replying to everybody.
I can get Jeremy Renner.
I can never feel loved.
It's just his stupid picture next to it.
Yeah, it's just his face next to it. And it just says Jeremy Renner : I can never feel love.
That actually sounds like a good title for one of his dad bands. Dad band records.
It's the next one coming out.
Yeah. He's playing at the Sprinkle Museum.
He's going to use that Neosporin money to, like, go back into the studio.
Riding the wave of analgesics, cream money. Man. I'm glad we tied that back in.
Yeah, that was a good callback. Good us.
I don't think they do this anymore in comics where, like, somebody's like making a noise, but they just kind of say it.
Yeah.
So like,
kaplap.
No, like here, like Scorpion's like, I'm gonna fucking kill you, and J. Jonah Jameson just goes choke. But he like, I don't. He's supposed to be like, ah, yeah, or whatever. Yeah,
right.
Yeah. So anyways,
I think that'd be funny if he just said choke.
Choke. So
Ms. Marvel shows up. Oh, that's right. It's at the Sprinkle Museum.
That's right.
It's above the Sprinkle.
Is that the Jeremy Renner pop up?
Yeah. And she like goes up to fight the Scorpion and they start fighting.
Yeah. So she's going through all these booby traps and, yeah.
Oh, it's an escape room now.
Oh, yeah. That's right. Oh, 100%. You know what? 100%. Brooklyn hipster escape room with the Scorpion.
Absolutely. Yeah. Above the peanut butter and jelly restaurant and Sprinkle pop up.
And here's what happens.
Yeah.
When you get to the end, you go through like whatever the last door, you fall into a big thing of sprinkles. Yeah. And Jeremy Renner's there.
And then you take a selfie.
Jeremy Renner's there playing I can never feel love.
Yeah.
From his latest dad band.
Or Can I Borrow a Feeling?
Pictures on his app. Jeremy Renner is the Kirk Van Houten of apps.
That's pretty much what just fucking happened. But it was like, his picture's on the app.
Look at his face. He's
pissed on the app. Yep. That's exactly what just fucking happened.
So she's flying around.
And they're fighting, and like, he throws something at her. It's like an engine with a plug.
That's true. He does
like
throw a car engine with a plug. He throws a motor, like, yeah, whatever.
It's a Tesla.
He throws a Tesla at her. But before that, like, J. Jones is like, get me the fuck out of here. And she's like, you don't care about female superheroes now, huh? You know?
Yeah.
She's kind of giving that shit.
Look at my sexy costume.
Look at my back window.
Yeah. She has a back window.
Big ass back window.
Yeah.
So,
again, what happens when you don't know how to measure fabric properly?
So, yeah, so they're having a big old fight.
Yep.
She knocks out a few of his teeth, I think. You see this one where she's got his fist, like, right there? She's
Yeah, him. No, she absolutely knocked out like all of his top teeth. That dude's gonna have to eat some like Wendy's Frosties.
He could never feel.
But then he has teeth in the next one, so maybe they just grow back.
That was true. Well, maybe it's the suit. I don't know.
I never lose teeth. Jeremy Renner.
Look at his face.
It's on the cover.
So he basically, yeah, he's throwing all sorts of shit at her. And so here's the thing, though. So Carol Danvers knows she's Carol Danvers, right?
Yes.
And but she doesn't.
Oh, we have glossed over the fact where somebody asked her what her name was earlier, or did they? Or is this later?
I think it's here. Well, because a lot of people are asking her what her name is, but everybody knows she's Carol Danvers.
No, they don't know she's Carol Danvers. They're asking her what her superhero name is, and she literally doesn't answer them because she hadn't even thought that far ahead.
Well, she does say here that because I think Scorpion recognizes this costume. She says, "Oh, it looks like Captain Marvel."
Right.
So you're probably a Kree or something like that. And she's like, nah.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not Kree.
No.
I got this sweet gimmick, though.
We gloss over this, too, because when she's talking to Mary Jane and her sweet-ass pad, she, like, passes out.
Yeah.
And says, oh, or, like, gets really weak. It's like, oh, I just have a migraine. And as she's fighting Scorpion, he's like, well, you look like him. You're Kree. And then she's like, wait a second. That's right. Now I'm having all these memories in which I am actually Kree.
Well, here's the way, though. This is a weird thing where she says, but in some way, I don't understand the power. Understand, I've gained powers from the Kree, super strength, flight, and a strange seventh sense, and total amnesia.
What is she talking about, the seventh sense?
The spatial awareness.
I know, but why isn't a sixth sense?
I don't know. Okay. Maybe it's her lack of cape, lack of back.
I guess, because usually we only have five senses.
Right.
Okay, anyway.
She's fighting the Scorpion, but she's telling him all about like the medical, the problems she's been having about not being able to remember. Cause he's like, you don't remember stuff. Oh, I'm still going to jump on you. And then they're still like talking about it. It's
just like old people talking about their ailments, but they're fighting at the same time.
Right. She throws him into this acid container, which somehow it burns him pretty good, but he runs away. And apparently he does live because the Scorpion has come back plenty of times. And then she's like, okay, I'm Miss Marvel. And J. Jonah Jameson's like, well, save me. And then she leaves him. She saves him, but she just leaves him chained, his hands tethered. And she's like, well, you're kind of an asshole, so I'm just going to run away.
Yeah.
And then we get to the end, and it's an epilogue. The next morning, Danvers is in the office again. Yeah, you know, she's like, I want you to do an expose about Miss Marvel because she made me look like a fool.
She saved your fucking life, dude. Shut up.
Yeah, but he's like, fuck that. Don't tell me. And she's like, oh, what about Spider-Man? He's like, fuck you. Get out.
Don't say Spider. Don't say. Why'd you say that name?
What'd you say that name?
It's basically what he does. And she's like, fine, I'm going to go in my awesome office and sit here and earn my salary.
Look at this fucking office.
It's huge.
She has, like, she went from, who did they kick out to have this office?
I don't know. This is bad.
Fucking Norman Mailer?
Shit was going nuts back then, man.
Jeremy Renner?
You were just, like, getting that publishing money. It was insane.
They were just throwing money around here.
Just absolutely throwing it around. And fucking anybody walks in off the street, apparently, because she's like, I don't have any experience, except somehow I interviewed Diana Ross. Here's a giant office.
Oh, yeah, and I wrote a book about space.
Sure.
That's how it goes.
So, now I run this women's magazine.
Now she's going to run a women's magazine, which I don't... Here's the thing. I've been reading comics for a while, and I've known of Captain Marvel. I had no idea
this was an editor.
That she was an editor on the Daily Bugle women's magazine, and she made $30,000 a year.
I didn't realize there was a Daily Bugle women's magazine offshoot.
No, right?
But apparently there was in the 70s. The things we learn.
Yeah,
reading these comics.
Yeah, it's a good. It's a good book.
That's it. That's the beginning of the Miss Marvel.
Next issue: The Secret Origin of Captain Marvel. Would you want to read it?
Yeah, actually, I enjoy the Miss Marvel stuff. It's fine. I mean, you know, as long as there's not too much Spider-Man going on.
Spider-Maning. Again, it's very surprising to me that there was a connection to Spider-Man that early on in the...
Well, you got to throw in a heavy hitter so somebody will read this book.
I understand that.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it was kind of like, I didn't realize it was tethered to that. I don't know. It just surprised me. But nonetheless, that is...
Would you read the next issue?
Yeah. I would actually like to find a trade of just this series.
Yeah. There might be one out
there. There is. They're out there. Like, there's a... But, you know, especially with the cat... with the character being so popular now,
yeah,
there's a lot of reprints and stuff out there, so I'm pretty certain that I can probably find it. But that is Miss Marvel number 1, volume 1, from January 1977. That is this week's show. Let's tell people where we can find us. You can find us on Twitter and Instagram. I'm at Angry Hero Sean,
and I'm at Jen Stansfield on Twitter and Instagram. Find us on Facebook, Worst Collection Ever. Email the show, worstcollectionever@gmail.com.
And, of course, please rate, review, subscribe, and tell your friends about the show. And when you're rating, reviewing, subscribing, please give us 5 stars if you think we deserve it on Apple Podcasts and anywhere you get the show. We do have a presence on Spotify. I didn't mention this because they have a dashboard you can look into.
Mm.
And you can kind of see where people...
Like where they're from?
Where they're from. But it's a smaller sample, obviously, but it's kind of neat to see that.
Yeah.
I like. And there's one where, I know we have somebody in Ireland and listening to us.
Hello.
Hi, Ireland.
How's it going?
And it kind of tells you what kind of music they're into like that. So it's kind of, it doesn't tell you who they are, but.
They all found us through Dad Rock.
That's right. They searched for Dad Rock and we came up.
And they were like, oh, I too love this David Duchovny album. What is Worst Collection Ever?
Yeah, because it's like related artists. David Duchovny. Worst Collection Ever. Oh, man.
That's funny.
What a deal. Anyways, thanks for listening, folks, and we'll talk to you again next time.
Bye.